Hi everyone, welcome back to the podcast. There's been three in the space of a week. Full warning, this podcast is extremely hard to record. Yesterday I had my second dose of the vaccine and I am absolutely feeling it to my absolute core. Even despite spending 13 hours in bed, my arms, my legs, my head are killing me. So if I don't sound as enthusiastic or energetic, you'll know why, as it's been pretty hard to even get out of bed and sit in this chair to do this, but in saying that, I still wanted to do a podcast and try and keep up the consistency. I feel like people will appreciate this podcast as a bit of a situation update, and even for me down the line, I'll be able to better understand what exactly I went through, even in, say, 5 years when I come back and look at this. The last podcast was a bit of a special one. Granted, probably not that entertaining, but it was celebrating 6 years on YouTube, and we went through basically the past 6 years of the YouTube channel, taking a look at the content switches and so forth. In addition, the ones before that were probably the most popular ones I've done, and they were detailing my experiences trying to get back to Australia, which is going to be the main premise of this podcast, if you will. I'm not 100% sure what I'm going to name it, but it may be something like The Life of a Stranded Australian, just something, I don't know, interesting that people may find cool to listen in. Once again, I've got, like, the dot points. I recall a couple podcasts ago I promised a movie review or something for the movies I'd gone to see. Since then, I've seen two more movies, so I guess some point in this podcast I'll also be doing a review of the two movies I went to see in the cinemas. But yeah, let's just begin straight away right off the bat with the vaccine. So if you're unaware, I managed to get my second dose yesterday. This is being recorded pretty late. I say pretty late. This is being recorded on Saturday the 24th of July at 3:51 p.m. local time here in London, and it's coming out basically instantly after I finish recording. So I left pretty late, but that's because I didn't record Wednesday, and then yeah. So either way, I had my first dose of the vaccine towards the back end of June, and one of the biggest concerns and problems was I'm heading back to Australia. And if you are not keeping up to date with the podcasts or haven't seen, I would highly encourage you to just look at Australia and have a look at how they've been handling the pandemic in a sense of vaccines. The whole country is basically in lockdown and pandemonia over about 3 cases in one state. I will get onto that in a second, later down in the podcast. For now, we'll stick to the vaccine. So the problem was that I was going to get my first dose here, which I already got, and then the second dose I wouldn't be able to get because I'd be back in Australia, where they are, to once again reiterate, not offering it to me for a very, very long time. So basically, I'd only be half jabbed, which is not obviously a good outcome, especially when I'm most likely going to need the vaccine to travel to locations around the world, whether that be, you know, it's not gonna, for me personally right now, with getting back to Australia, it actually doesn't make a difference, which is something I'll get onto, which is pretty annoying, but as in they're still not noticing it, whereas in I feel like other countries are moving forward with being like, oh, you're double vaccinated, yes, you can still carry the virus, but they're more recognizing it as like a way out or a way you can cut down your time in quarantine, or you can skip it, or it makes travel more accessible. But Australia is still struggling to vaccinate people, so they're still obsessed with like trying to keep it at one case. Either way, my point is that I could get the first dose here but not get the second dose in Australia. So for the past 3 weeks, I've basically been chasing up with every single person where I can get my second dose in the United Kingdom. Now, things happen in mysterious ways, but at the time of recording right now, I should actually be on a Qatar Airways plane to Doha. So yeah, I should be literally on a plane right now, but obviously that's not happening. My new flight is scheduled in August, in a couple of weeks, but I will explain how that's seemingly most likely going to unlikely be going ahead, pardon me. And I still have not reached the window where I hear if I get cancelled or not, so I'm still in limbo about what's going to happen. So I've been searching everywhere, trying to, you know, get a better understanding of how I can get my second dose here. And to be completely honest, I've been absolutely everywhere. I've been to pop-up vaccination clinics where I've literally booked in appointments. I've called the NHS. I've called every single person, and they kept saying we can't give you the vaccine because it's an 8-week gap. Now, for me, an eight-week gap, pardon me, is useless because, you know, 8 weeks I'd be back in Australia. So I was pretty determined to try and find it. I did manage to, so I think this was maybe a week and a half ago, or just actually last weekend. I went to a pop-up vaccination clinic and I said, I explained my situation, and they were like, yeah, no, we can't do it. Call your local GP. So like your general practitioner, your doctor's place. And I called them And then they said, yeah, we have no... There are no vaccination spots open in your local area. So I was like, okay. But, like, personally, I'm so desperate to get it, I'll literally go 5 hours away to get it. Like, I'm not even kidding, because I think you can imagine the stress if this vaccine is critical to seeing your loved ones and so forth, or your partner that you've been away from like, a year, when really the vaccination is going to be that thing that's going to make it hopefully a little bit easier. Because if you think about it, the longest I ever spent away from my parents was, I think it maybe was it 5 or 4 months. I haven't actually seen them in almost 2 years now. So, you know, while the vaccine doesn't make a huge difference, it's that sort of thing of, if it makes it easier eventually one day to get back home or move around the world, it's crucial. Like I said, I haven't seen my partner in over a year now. And obviously I'm heading back to Australia to a location where, you know, they're pretty much being locked in, so it doesn't make anything easier. So the hope was, I need to make sure I get vaccinated, because then that way I can, you know, be more accessible. So like I said, I was told to then call the NHS, of which I had already been on call to the NHS like a couple weeks prior, and they said they couldn't help me. So I was like, well, I got directed to my GP, then directed to NHS. I called the NHS. What do you think they told me? We can't help you. Call your GP. So the next day I called my GP, and do you know what they said to me? I mean, it's so, so typical, isn't it? But like, they said to me, we can book you this Friday. I was like, you literally told me a day ago that there was nothing in my area. And mind you, I ended up being vaccinated yesterday, about 10 minutes down the road. So it's just like, come on. Why you get told one thing and then another thing, and then you get directed there. And so, yeah. Either way, that happened yesterday. It was quite a smooth... I mean, I'm not scared of needles. I know a lot of people probably are, but I don't... I've never... Oh, I dropped my pen. I've never, like, been afraid of them. I've had different vaccinations. Obviously, there's the flu shot. If you've ever been to school, you probably get those different shots at school. So I've never been worried about it. I just hate the after effects, which is, like, feeling really run down and dead. And, like, I described it yesterday. I was saying something along the lines of, it feels like when I had COVID, but in regards to feeling as weak and dead inside, and everything hurts, and yeah. If you've had it, you'll probably understand what I'm talking about, and apparently it's seemingly worse for the second dose. But yeah, so that's checked off. I've got my little card somewhere in my wallet. Let me just make sure it's actually in my wallet. It is. I've got my little card that says I've been double jabbed, so that's positive. It's like a souvenir. But I didn't post the card on Twitter or Instagram, which means maybe my vaccine doesn't work. Seeming everyone has to post their card on Twitter or Instagram, and then it's a meme that, yeah, if you don't post the card, then the vaccine doesn't actually work. But yeah, it's quite cool. It's like a little thing I checked off. It almost feels like a book where you tick off different countries that you've been to, as dumb as it sounds. So we can cross that off. Now, one thing I was thinking of doing is like a life in quarantine series, because if I have to spend 14... Oh, that was something we were going on to with regards to how the vaccine helps absolutely no way in getting back to Australia. So a lot of locations now, if you're double jabbed, it's a little bit easier getting back. Well, that being said, every other country has handled this better with getting their citizens back. But I mean, you've probably seen in the news Katie Hopkins, and who was the other person? Was it a Kardashian or a Jenner? I don't know. But they were allowed into Australia, and while someone like me, basically, and to put it like quite plainly, one of the main reasons why I was unable to get back into the country is because Celebrity Big Brother or something is being held in Australia, and there are a bunch of celebrities that basically took up my quarantine spot. Now, let that sink in. And you know how I've explained in previous podcasts, I'm in a situation where I'm very lucky that I'm not going back for urgent reasons. So on the grand scheme of things, I could spend another 5 years in London, and it wouldn't, as of right now, it wouldn't make a difference to my life, other than having no money left over, because it's literally killing me right now. But that's beside the point. And obviously you get no fun. You know what's funny? You get no financial support when they do this. And you know what I have to do basically now is pay goddamn taxes in Australia. Like I've had to pay taxes, obviously, while I've not even lived in the country. But the mere fact that they do not even let me back into the country, and I'm still paying a ridiculous amount of taxes, it's like, absolutely do one when you get no support whatsoever. It's so, so irritating. But anyway, I'm not going to get onto that rant, because then we could be here for 15 minutes. What was I saying again? Also, I want to apologize. Sorry if the structure to this podcast is not amazing. Like I said, I don't feel great, so it may be just a little bit all over the place, and I may be more inclined to forget what I was talking about than, say, other podcasts. Although, let's be honest, I do it quite frequently. What was I saying? I don't even know at this point. Oh, sorry, yeah. I was saying that for me, it's not as urgent to get back into Australia, but, you know, as its principal, it's my place is being taken up by a celebrity, which is just utterly ridiculous. And, you know, it doesn't stop because overnight, for anyone that's unaware, I'm from Melbourne, Victoria, deemed as the world's most livable city for however many years running. That's a lie because I can't even go to live in there. And I think they've dropped down the order quite substantially. They're still in a hard lockdown because they have, like, 12 cases. That's something that I will never understand. Not only are they unable to vaccinate, but any time that... Do you know that in Australia at the moment, they've got something along the lines of, I think, South Australia. Now, for people that are curious, I'm from Melbourne, but I'm flying into Adelaide because I got rescheduled. So that's just brilliant because now the whole country's in border lockdowns and somehow I've got to get from Adelaide eventually to Melbourne, providing my flight's not cancelled, and there's a high chance it's going to be, because Adelaide has had an absolutely huge spike in cases. I mean, it's literally God on earth. Very, very, very scary. Like, utterly, utterly scary. You know, I think it was like 3 cases. Yeah, I'll just let you, like, take that in. As being described by the media, an exponential spike in cases, and I think they recorded a couple days ago, like, the whole outbreak was 3 cases, or 1 case, or 2 case. So that means they've been put in hard lockdown, and now it's been, and now the Premier is basically saying they want to stop international travel, because that is, it's our fault once again. So basically they want to stop international travel into South Australia. They've already cut all flights this Monday and Tuesday into South Australia, so all international flights are being cut. And need I remind you that if you have a look at weekly caps, South Australia has one of the lowest amounts. So I got cancelled to Melbourne, where they had 500 people allowed in from international destinations per week. South Australia is 240. And they've already cancelled a bunch of flights. And on top of that, you're going to laugh. And as I've explained to anyone that's close to me, and they now better understand just how utterly ridiculous it is, there's a couple of hotels that are set up, which is where the government quarantine takes place. With that being said, I'd probably rather go into Australia, because from what I hear, there are balconies, which means you can actually get some fresh air, something you would not be able to get in Melbourne. So fresh air is, of course, welcomed. Not that I want to do it at all, but, you know, if I have to take one, I'd rather take some fresh air for 2 weeks. So there's a couple, I think there's like 3 hotels set up in South Australia where the government quarantine is taking place. Or the government-facilitated quarantine, if you want to be all specific and stuff. But basically, because they've had a COVID outbreak, do you know what they're doing? So like I said, there's 240 people arriving per week that are allowed in. Do you know what they're doing with the hotels that are meant to be housing international arrivals? They've put... Now, let me just get this straight, and let me put this out to you, and you can deem yourself whether it sounds ridiculous. They're putting people that are living in Adelaide, Australian citizens that live in Adelaide, you know, permanently, they're putting these people that have tested positive for coronavirus in the government hotel quarantine. Like, what? What? So, not only has you've seen a bunch of celebrities and sports people come in, but the reason why now my flight will subsequently most likely be cancelled again and I'll be rescheduled to God knows when is because of their outbreak. That was 3 or 5 cases and now it's 15 or 10 cases, and the people that have had it or have it or are unwell or whatever it is are going into hotels that we're meant to be going in. And that's now the new, and I mean, I'm a part of all, like, if you are interested in learning more, just go to Facebook and you can go into groups that are like stranded Australians and so forth. And with that being said, my new YouTube video just went out, so I need to actually just fix something up for that while I'm talking to you and make it so, how do I put it? Make it so it pops up. Let me just go, customization. Let me make it so it's the landing video when you check the channel out. A little behind the scenes content for the people in the podcast as we do this literally live. But yeah, it baffles me. Unfortunately, because my flight is still about 2 weeks or a week and a half away, I'm not in that period. This is so ridiculous to even have to say, but I'm not in that period where Qatar Airways has the amount of caps or whatever from Adelaide Airport and South Australian government, which means right now, my flight is confirmed, but, you know, I still have to wait about 2-3 days before I'll reach that zone where I can get cancelled again. For reference, my flight was originally July 24th. Like I said, I should have been on the plane right now. But it was cancelled about 9 days prior. So we're not at 9 days before my next flight yet. So we need to basically get to 9 days before I may get an email saying I've been rescheduled. Need I also remind you that there's the potential they could cancel me 1 day before. There have been many, many people that have been cancelled literally as they're going to the airport. I would be lying if I said I'm not paranoid that that's going to happen to me. Because then you're in the situation where your entire life is in two suitcases. For my case, two suitcases. And you have nowhere to live, literally. And you were basically going to the airport for your flight and it gets cancelled while you're at the check-in desk. So let's hope that doesn't happen. I've been lucky enough to get an extension on where I'm living until my next flight, purely because they can't rent out the place to someone else. They can't find anyone. So, I mean, that's sort of a win for me, because I can stay in like a place of residency. So that's a positive. The bad thing is I've already had to book my end of tenancy cleaners to come in and do the huge deep clean, which, once again, like everything in this world, costs a couple hundred dollars. And, you know, everything costs money. But the problem is that this is really, like, the end. You know, like, if I get rescheduled, I don't know what I'm going to do. This is no more extensions after this. So that will be interesting, say the least, what will happen if that goes on. I'm sure I will update. I'm sure if my flight gets cancelled, there'll be an emergency podcast that I'll release, or you'll see it. You'll see it everywhere. Because most likely I'll be going through a breakdown, ranting, being really annoyed. but that is the situation status update with that, with trying to get back into Australia. Once again, I'm totally in limbo. I worked my butt off to make a number of videos for both channels, and they've all had to be postponed to release once again when I'm leaving, so I had to rework the entire schedule, and now I'm fearing that those videos will be technically out of date, which means I have to recreate them all again, and I simply can't do that or have enough time to do that. It's just it's a complete and utter mess, as you can probably imagine. One of the main positives is I managed to get double vaccinated out of it. But other than that, it's not great. And, like, I would love to stay in London. I would 100% love to. I would love to stay overseas, but it'd be good to come back and save some money. You know what I mean? And that's not happening because of how much money is being spent at the moment trying to sort this crap out that's not my fault. Fun fact, I got locked out of my flat. Not my own fault, but I got locked out of my flat about a week and a half ago. I'm not sure if I mentioned this in a podcast. You know, I don't actually know. Well, I'm going to mention it anyway, but long story short, there was a flat viewing taking place, and for some reason they decided to lock the... I feel like I've mentioned this, but I don't know. But anyway, for people that didn't listen, I got locked out of my flat because basically I have my main front door, and then there's another door, which is like for the door that leads to the stairwell. And for some reason, they decided to lock that door from the inside or whatever, and I don't have the keys for that, because guess what? There's only, like, one key that exists for that, because that door never locks. So I was stood in the stairwell for, like, an hour, which was fun. And then what happened? No, hang on, my bad. I'm telling the wrong story. See, once again, I do deeply apologize for this. I'm a bit, you know... That's not even the story I was trying to say. I have notes in front of me for reference, and I've got, like, the flat viewing problems, but that was not... That was the wrong story. Oh, there we go. So I need to get 24 hours notice before a flat viewing. Naturally, I need to prepare the flat. I need to be out of the flat. Thursday at 3 p.m., I was listening to music through my headset, and I heard my intercom buzzing. So that means, like, if you have parcel deliveries, Uber Eats, they can, like, buzz your flat number. So, I wasn't expecting any packages, so really it only buzzes if I've ordered, like, food to my flat, or, if you know what I mean, or a package is arriving. And that being said, I will rarely even answer it for the package, because then they'll just put it near the letterboxes and I'll go down and collect it. It's just more convenient for me. But yeah, so I didn't answer it, and I was just listening to my music, and, through my headset, need I remind you. And then I thought I heard a knocking, but, like, I wasn't sure of it. So I sort of went to the front door, and literally the door opens in my face because they're doing a viewing. You know, the door is unlocked and opened in my face. Now, can I remind you that I was not notified of this? And I'm like, what? Who are you? For flat viewing, I'm like, what? You know, I could have been in the shower. I could have been sleeping. God forbid, you know. But no, they just opened the door. And I was like, I've not been notified. Oh, yes. Wait, I texted you yesterday. Guess what? There's not a single text message there. I'm like, there's not a text message there. And she's like, oh yeah, I texted you yesterday. You should have been ready. I'm like, what? You didn't text me. And so I texted my iMessage. There was nothing. I checked WhatsApp. There was nothing. And she had the nerve to tell me, maybe we have the wrong number on file. Now, if you've been listening to the podcast, I've probably had to go through 100 viewings in the past 2 months. all being reached by the phone number that's on file. No, she just forgot to, sorry about the motorbike. She just forgot to tell me and then just rocked up to my flat. So what do I have to do? I close the door and I have to fix everything up, you know, throw everything in the rubbish and then leave the flat for 20 minutes. Complete and utter joke. I'm absolutely over it. So annoying. But unfortunately, there's nothing you can do about it. But they definitely take advantage of you. For anyone that currently rents, for anyone that is younger and listening to this and will be renting in the future, have fun when you need to move out, because it is not fun at all. It is an absolute mess. Yeah, so this podcast is not... We usually go for like 40 minutes, tentatively. That is something out of not even my own intent, that we always seem to go for like 42 minutes. It made me happy when I looked at it. It was satisfying to look at, because I looked at the episodes and the timing, and I was kind of like to myself, oh, we have our show for 42 minutes, and I go into a booth and record 42 minutes, but this is not reaching 42 minutes. Also, because I feel like I'm going to pass out, but that's totally unrelated. It's just there's not enough to talk about today or this week. I thought we'd go on to positive news. Movie reviews. This is something people... Oh, and also TV series reviews. This is something people really seem to enjoy or enjoyed talking about, and I guess it brings a different aspect to the podcast that is meant to be aviation-related, but look, at this point, it's just a place for me to chat and people to listen, pardon me. So I've watched Black Widow since last speaking to you, The Forever Purge, and I finished Jeremy Clarkson's Farm, finally. So yeah, I thought we'd start with Jeremy Clarkson's Farm. If you haven't watched it, it's not something you can really spoil. It's not like a movie, but I mean, if you don't want to hear about it, you can always skip forward, maybe like a couple of minutes. Jeremy Clarkson's Farm is basically, Jeremy Clarkson, if you're unaware, is someone that was a part of Top Gear and now the Grand Tour, is basically a living legend in the UK and someone that I watched growing up since the small age of like 6. I've been watching Jeremy Clarkson, James May, and Richard Hammond since I was very, very young. Every day, we would watch an episode, like, with my family, at night sort of thing. We'd watch the specials, we would buy the DVDs whenever they came out, we would watch it when it came on TV. They are literally, if you can epitomize my viewing as a child, I would definitely, like, as someone that's been on this earth for 20 years, if you had a look at sort of my life, I would definitely say, in regards to entertainment, them three, Star Wars and Marvel, have been, like, at its core, the main things for me. So I've watched basically every single Top Gear episode 10 times and every single Grand Tour. So them having their own spin-off shows was something I was very excited about the prospect of watching, and I've thoroughly enjoyed watching it. I would definitely recommend if you have Amazon Prime, which is personally my favorite streaming platform. I don't really like Netflix. I may get hate for that, but I'm not a fan of Netflix. Never have been. It doesn't have my type of content. I prefer Amazon Prime, like tenfold. And honestly, the only reason I got Amazon Prime originally was to watch the Grand Tour, but I've sort of kept it because there's some great movies on there that are more my lane. I feel like Netflix is very much romantic drama, comedy, drama stuff, and, you know, but that's not really my type of thing. I enjoy, you know, as an example, the Amazon has football shows, cricket shows, and that's sort of what I like. The only thing I like about Netflix is that's something I've been watching. I've completely forgot. Drive to Survive. I will get onto that. Let me just make a note. I'll get onto that after Clarkson's Farm. So yeah, Clarkson's Farm is absolutely brilliant. I would highly recommend watching it. It's basically Jeremy Clarkson running a farm for a year, you know, from the cultivating to planting the seeds, all the stuff in between, his lambs, his animals. It is very, very funny. Farming is not the most entertaining thing, but once again, Jeremy Clarkson and the other people in the show carry it because of the entertainment from them. It's 8 episodes at about 45, 50 minutes an episode, so it's a very, very good show. It's something you can work through over weeks. Even though it came out all at once, I mean, personally for me, I didn't have the time to binge watch it, so it's taken about a month and a bit. But yeah, if you haven't watched it, I'd highly recommend doing so. I won't get into it too much, but just a lot of comedy. And just imagine a guy that doesn't know how to do anything. I'm talking doesn't like manual labor, has always complained about doing manual labor, has always not really had any idea how to fix things, basically trying to run his own farm for the first time. So that will give you the gist of it, and it's very, very funny. Now, what I wanted to move on to was Drive to Survive, which is the Formula One show, which I've actually been getting into. There's a lot of people that will be listening to this that are, say, a part of the Discord server, or maybe listening live, or I don't know the situation of how many people are listening now, but there's a lot of people that love Formula One, and I've actually gotten back into it after like 9 years. I've watched now 5 races in a row. And I've watched like qualifying and the practice, no matter where I am. So I would say I'm getting back into it, which is exciting. So I've been watching, and I'd say Drive to Survive certainly helped that. I've binge watched all three seasons now of Drive to Survive, and I really, really liked it. It's so, so good. That's basically the only thing I like on Netflix, though, if we're being honest. But I really enjoyed it. I'm weird like this. I should have done it the other way, but I watched the 2020 season, the 2019, and then the 2018 one in that order. I basically watched it back to front. But now I've watched 2018, because, like, for people that don't know, I was heavily into motor racing when I was younger. I would actually go, I've been to multiple Australian Grand Prix with my dad, and I've been to many motor racing events. My dad, fun fact, actually did motor racing, not in like a money sort of thing, but, well, there was prize money, but he did it like as in local competitive events sort of thing. And he also did marshalling and so forth. So he was always sort of into cars, and then I sort of took that on. Well, he didn't even really force it on me. I just think we sometimes on the TV we'd watch it, and I really enjoyed it. And then we would go and go to races together. But I sort of had the past 9-10 years where I have not been interested in it. I just got bored of it, if that makes sense. But I'm back into it, and Drive to Survive definitely helped. If you're into like racing, or if you're into a sort of show that takes a look at the behind the scenes of everything, which personally I love, I would highly recommend doing so. I'm excited for the next season, and I'm kind of sad that I've watched it all now, because that was something I was really enjoying watching. I went to see The Forever Purge in cinemas alongside Black Widow. The Forever Purge is, well, it's the Purge movie series. I was not expecting anything good. I think if anyone's watched the Purge movies, you basically watch one and then all the rest are somewhat the same. But the premise of this, I won't get into like huge spoilers, I'll just give you the basic premise, but the premise of this is that the Purge doesn't stop after the 12 hours. So I guess it's an interesting angle, but with that being said, it's cheesy. It's maybe one of the better ones. It wasn't terrible, but at the same time, I feel like the idea of the Purge is brilliant. That's going to be taken out of context. My God, I don't mean the actual purging is good. I mean, as a movie series and a TV series, the premise of it is very, very entertaining and interesting to watch. As in, like, my God, it seems so far-fetched from reality that this sort of thing would happen, that it's very, very good to watch. And it's like that cheesy show that you always watch. But with that being said, I don't feel like it's been executed correctly, and I feel like we're now too far into it to rectify all the mistakes maybe being made. It had the potential to be insane. So I went to see that. I'd probably give that like a 5 out of 10. But that being said, I didn't have high hopes going into it, so maybe that helped with my own, like, my review of it. I've seen Black Widow as well. Personally, I did enjoy Black Widow. I didn't think I would, but I did enjoy it. That's the newest Marvel movie that's come out. That being said, the worst part about the movie was actually Black Widow herself. I don't really like Black Widow as a character. I thought all the other characters were way more entertaining. What's the guy's name? There's the guy from Stranger Things. I've forgotten his name, but I should remember it. No doubt, when I finish this podcast, I'll remember it. There's Hopper from Stranger Things in it. I've forgotten his name, so I do apologize. And I think all those other characters shine far more than her. Maybe that's because I haven't seen those characters in movie form. Or I already don't have like a perception of I don't like them, or whatever you want to say. So I honestly would give Black Widow about an 8, 9 out of 10. I did enjoy it. That being said, I think it was just nice. That was the first time back to the cinemas since Tenet. And Tenet was the last movie I watched in August of 2020. And Tenet was just a mental, like, I couldn't take it at all. I think it was just fun to have like popcorn and watch a movie. Maybe that was also why I enjoyed it so much. But yeah, a movie's a movie, and I feel like at this point you can't take anything for granted given how the world is. We've been going 29 minutes, and I'm not gonna lie, I do not feel good at all. I feel like I need to go back to bed, despite being in bed for 13 hours. Thank you very much for watching. If you're listening to this now, there's a video on the YouTube channel. You should go and watch it. How many views are we at for this new video? 1.1k. Decent, honestly. That's decent. The channel is so up and down. It's absolutely incredible how up and down it can be. So with that being said, definitely go check out the new video on the channel. It's talking about a sort of like new aircraft launch, but it's just updates. I mean, it just updates surrounding Qatar Airways and the freighter aircraft, because, you know, we have like the 777X freighter and the A350 freighter, and it's which one's going to launch, and Qatar are interested in both. That is something I've been making a very, very conscious effort to do in recent times, is Oh, that's something a lot of people always ask me, and I've had this question a few... Well, not as much as frequently, but I've definitely had a question along the lines of, why are your titles so vague? And I just wanted to address this now, not that it's even necessary, but in the past, I used to make videos, and I would, explain... And I still do this sometimes, but I would very much sort of, in the title, give away exactly what the video was about. That was just something I did because I thought people enjoyed that. And I'm not going to lie, I was actually surprised, but there are a lot of people when I did like surveys and spoke to people on live streams, and even when I previously had a Discord community and was reading the YouTube comments, and people were like, can you not spoil the video, the topic in the title? And I was like, oh. So that's just a bit of an explanation for people that are curious why, as an example, today's video is not titled. Qatar Airways is eyeing up a really... Qatar Airways is going to very soon order either two aircraft, the A350 freighter or the 777X. You know, instead of saying that, I say something along the lines of, is a new aircraft launched soon or new aircraft launched soon? Because, and maybe I put not a thumbnail of Qatar Airways. Because people almost like watch my videos as episodes, which is quite cool, but they don't want it spoiled. So that's just a bit of an explanation. They want to like click on the video and I guess not know what it's going to be about, which is fun for people. And yeah, so... For those people asking, because I know it can definitely be perceived as clickbait, obviously I'm always very upfront with everyone, and I will never, like, lie. So of course I do it in a sense of I try and make it so it's a surprise and it looks exciting. I mean, isn't that the point? You have to make sure people want to watch it sort of thing. But at the same point in time, that's one of the main feedbacks I've taken on with the channel in recent years, is people don't want the title spoiled. They don't want to, because then they almost... I was actually told many, many times that people... If they see what the whole topic is going to be about in the video title, they won't actually click on it, which is something I didn't know. But they were like, oh, then I don't even want to watch this, because if it's about Qatar Airways or something. And then they said they were always more inclined to watch the video if they didn't know what it was going to be about, but they had an understanding of what they could expect. They just didn't know the exact specifics. That being said, when there's like a new order or specific things that I want to make known, I don't really care about that. But maybe you're more different types of content about aircraft. Yeah, so... I don't know why I was explaining that. I'm going to go pass out now and collapse for the next day and hibernate. Thank you very much for listening to everyone that has tuned into this podcast and to everyone that does continue to tune into the podcast. It is greatly, greatly appreciated. Hope you enjoyed listening. I hope you enjoyed listening to my struggles once again of someone that is trying to get back to their home country that doesn't really feel like home anymore, to be honest. I feel like I'm citizenless. So if there's a country that wants to accept me, honestly, by all means, I would rather be anywhere. So just if there's a country that wants to give me a passport, hit me up somehow. I don't know. But yeah, thank you very much, everyone. Take care. Be safe. There should be another podcast maybe there'll be a podcast this coming weekend, the next weekend. But if my flight gets cancelled this coming week, which it is like 75% chance it will, there'll be like an emergency podcast that will come earlier because my situation will change. If my flight goes ahead, there'll be one more podcast while I'm in London, and then I'll be doing some sort of like quarantine series where I'll, you know, because I'll be bored out of my mind. So there might be like a podcast every day talking about what I did. Today, I woke up from my hotel bed and I walked 2 meters to the desk, then to the shower, and then I stared out the window. Entertaining, I know. But yeah, thank you very much. Take care. If you're listening and have not joined the Discord server, please do. We have like nearly 3,600 members or something like that. So, you know, there's lots of people in there that are willing to talk. We have events, game nights. Yeah, I will stop rambling on now just so you can get on with your day. And yeah, bye-bye, take care, and I will speak to you next week, hopefully, with some good news that my flight has not been cancelled.
Thank you for tuning into another episode of the DJ's Aviation Podcast. If you haven't already, feel free to follow my socials, being that of YouTube, Twitter, and Instagram, all under the DJ's Aviation branding. If you're interested in seeing my large collection of car, transport, aviation, and natural landscape photography, you can check me out on Flickr. Interested maybe in also joining a Discord community with thousands of members, you can do so with the vanity URL of discord.gg/aviation. Would certainly love to see you there. Until the next podcast, be safe and take care.